Morning. Okay, so you guys, when you show up here, you're never sure which voice you're going to get, depending on what has attacked me during the week. So this week, you get my deeper voice, because it's kind of going to be rumbly for you. So the subwoofer should kick in and carry it. How are you guys doing? It's kind of like, for me, this is like the first cold of the spring. Have you guys had that one yet? Yeah, it's coming. Hey, question for you. We're going to start out a little bit different than we usually do. We are in this series on spiritual gifting and being, we've been looking at really for a while now, what does it mean to be the body of Christ? What does it mean to be God's people? Do you know? I'm not saying did you know, because that's just a fact thing. Do you know? Because that's an action thing. Do you know that whenever you act in a way that lines up with the heart and the purposes of God, that's called acting in faith. Whenever you act based on faith, Jesus shows himself through you. Did you know that? Okay, so I want to try that out this morning. Everybody, we're going to start out a little bit different this morning. We're going to, a few weeks ago, I told you guys that we need to learn how to not just pray for each other, but we need to learn how to bless each other. Right? Praying for each other is saying, hey, something's going on in my life. Will you talk to God about it, kind of with me, for me, that kind of thing. Blessing each other is knowing that when you align your heart and your actions with the purposes and the heart of God, that Jesus shows up through you. God shows up in the room. His kingdom comes. So I want you to stand up. I want you to find somebody near you, in front of you, behind you. Don't leave anybody out on this. They can be beside you, but I want you to just lay your hand on their shoulder so we can have a whole chain of people kind of laying hands on each other's shoulders. But lay your hand on the shoulder, and we are going to bless one another this morning as we get started, okay? These words come out of Numbers 6. These are the same words, and some of you guys are thinking, I don't have the right to bless. Yeah, you do. Whenever we line up with the heart and the will, the purposes of God, he shows up, and it's not just about us, right? So just speak these words over your neighbor. Just repeat these after me. So in the Bible, I'm going to give you a background on how I'm going to start with this, because the name of God is Yahweh. But out of respect for Yahweh, they would often just say the Lord. So often we'll read the Lord, and so some of you guys have heard this with those words. But God revealed himself as a personal God, as a God who loves us, as a God who enters into relationship and invites us into relationship with him. So we're going to use his name. So speak these words over your neighbor. Yahweh bless you and keep you.
Yahweh bless you and keep you.
Yahweh reveal his face and his favor to you. And pour out his grace on your life. Yahweh show his face to you. And through you, and assign peace as your possession. Amen?
Amen.
Have a seat. You guys, that was an act of faith. That was an act of aligning, because God's intention is to bless his people. And so when you stand and join with God to bless his people, he shows up. He makes himself known through you. I believe that whether you knew it or not, sometimes we go, well, I don't know if I was able to do anything. I don't know how good I am at this. It doesn't matter. It's not about how good we are at this stuff. It's how good God is at this stuff. And when we line up with him, he shows up. And so I believe that you guys, in blessing each other, you'll be surprised. I think some of you guys will be surprised at what God does this morning. I have great expectations about this morning, because we have started out by just blessing one another in the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. You guys can do that anytime, by the way. You know, that's a freebie. He just says, go out and bless his people all the time. Change everything. Okay, so we are going to we're going to get into our passage today. We are in a series on it's called Revelation. And it's coming out of this thing that, you know, God reveals himself through us. We are in a series that is talking about how when we line up with Jesus and we win, the Holy Spirit gifts us in ways that make Jesus known through us, not just as individuals, but also together as a group. And so we've been making our way towards Ephesians chapter 4. That's the passage I've been talking to you about. We've been looking at other passages that were about spiritual gifts, but today we finally made it. Okay, so you guys are here for the day that we made it to Ephesians 4. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 16. So, sorry about this. Stand up again. as we look at this, it's a little bit longer than usual, but listen to what God has, this insight that he's given to us about these things. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance with one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of you, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Then he's gonna describe what is that measure he's talking about. And he says, therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives and he gave gifts to men and women. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he had first descended to earth. And he who descended himself is also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a fully mature new creation, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Jesus Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by winds and carried about by every wind of doctrine and the trickery of men, and craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint, every connection supplies, according to the proper working of every individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You guys, that's the passage that I've said, go back and just keep reading through that. Keep thinking about what God, letting him kind of open that up to you, because that's what we're talking about. What does it mean to lean into this thing about being gifted in the Spirit so that he might reveal through us the fullness of him who fills all in all, the fullness of Christ? Because Jesus has filled all things. It says he came down to the lowest parts of the earth and then he ascended to the highest heaven, so he fills all things. And now he has given us as these gifts, and he has gifted us. He has brought us into the work of his body. He's brought us in, given us invitation to align with his purposes and his ways in order to be empowered by his Spirit to make him known. He's called us into our parts, into our places, so that we might be his body. We might be his church. Amen? This morning's message is titled, Places, Everyone. Father, this morning, we're here, and as always, we know that you are here. If you're not with us, we're just there's no need to be here. There's no need to get together and to just do another religious thing. There's no reason that we should get together and just kind of be another organization or a group of people. I mean, that part is nice to get to know others, but Father, you have said that there's something special. There's a mark. There's a mark that shows that we're yours in this place, and that is that your Holy Spirit is moving among us. That you make your presence known. that we don't just do our work, but we align with yours, and through that we see the kingdom of heaven come and make itself known, the kingdom of heaven break in, the kingdom comes to this place, and we see your will done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, we want to see that this morning. We want to see you move. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear you speak to our hearts and call us into what does it mean for us to be your body, your ecclesia, that gathering of the citizens of heaven that show you off, that make you known. Jesus, we want you to reveal yourself in us and through us to us so that we might make you known to this world, to this world we live in. So we pray that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, set this space apart as your own. Set this time apart as your own. Come and lay claim to this place, and we give you our attention, the attention of our hearts and our minds. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand so that we might turn to you and be healed. We pray it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. So when I was in high school and then later in college, I was in several musicals and other types of productions. And as we would get ready for these presentations, these productions, just before like the curtain would open, and this is whether it was a practice or whether it was an actual production presentation the performance that week. But there was always someone that would make their way through to every kind of part of the stage, and they'd say something equivalent to, you know, places. Everybody get in your places. Everybody get set because it's about to start. And the reason they did that was because we all had our places. And if we wanted to see the production succeed, we needed to see it start well, which means that we had to be in the right place at the right time to start it well, knowing what our part was in that production and start out from that place. I believe that we live in a day when we have two contrary voices that are kind of calling to us that same thing. They're calling out to us, places, everyone. Take your places. Get in your places that you're expected to be and do the things that you're expected to do. Now, one of them is the voice of this world. And we all know what that tug feels like of being called to line up in our lives in those systems, in those situations, in those strategies of this world. So make sure that you line up and take your place in the right career. Take your place on the right side of this debate. Either take this side or take that side. Or take your place as that person who is one of the haves or the have-nots or one of those people of power or one of those maybe as a victim. Whatever your place is, take your place. Marry that right person. Get into that right school, right? Make sure your kids get into that right school. We know what that feels like, right? To have that voice that calls out to us, take your place in this world in a way that will matter to this world. But against that call is the voice of another, and some of you have heard that voice. Some of you have responded to that voice. Many of you have. And it's the voice of the Spirit of God. It's calling out and saying and telling us and reminding us, you know what, there's another kingdom. There's another system. There's another way to live. There's another place that you have been created to be. It's a more important place where we find freedom instead of bondage in these places and these roles and these actions that we live out. We find purpose instead of futility. And the Spirit of God calls us into those places. In Ephesians 4, what we're basically hearing is the Spirit of God calling to us and saying, take your places. Get in your places. You're necessary. You've been prepared for this. This is what God has created you for. Because the action of God, the action of kingdom of God, is about to unfold. And so among us, as we hear that, there are times that we just need to listen and say, God, what are you calling me to do? And we need to kind of quiet down the voices of this world because they get really loud, don't they? They come through your own kind of the expectations of others on you. They come through the kind of the expectations of society on you. They come through the expectations of your family on you. They come through our own expectations on ourselves. And we need to quiet those down and ask God, okay, so what is the place, what is that place that God has called me to be involved in his work, to be involved in this work of his kingdom, to be part of the body of Christ, to be a part of the ecclesia, that gathering of the people of God to do his work and to bring in his new life into this world. Because Ephesians 4 makes it clear, you know, don't ever question this. Each one of you has been called. It says, to each one of us, grace was given. He says, many things have been given to all, right? There's the God who is over all and in all and through all. But he says, but to each one of us, grace was given so that we might be involved in this work that God is doing in the world. So Ephesians 4, it starts with Paul, and he reaches out to these people, the believers in Ephesus. Now, he had planted this church, and he's writing back to them to encourage them in the things that he had taught them about. But as he's writing, he says, I write to you. He says, I am imploring you as a prisoner of the Lord. Now, at the time, Paul was in Rome, and he was literally a prisoner. He was a prisoner of Rome, because everywhere that he went, he tended to stir things up, right? And so finally, the Romans said, okay, we got to call this guy in and see if he's a criminal, okay? One of the things I was thinking about, and this is kind of a little bit of an aside, but one of the things I was thinking about this week, you guys, when the early Christians, when they went out as witnesses of Jesus, they knew three things, okay? The first was this. They had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and that was awesome, right? Just that would have, you know, they would have gone out and said, hey, there was this really great guy, taught us some really amazing stuff. He did amazing, amazing things. That was awesome. But then they saw him die, and he was resurrected. And that was amazing. That would have sent them, they would have died for that. They would have said, okay, he taught some great things, but then he rose from the dead. But then, the third thing, they were sitting in this upper room together, 120 of them, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, fell on them. And it says it was kind of like having little flames above their head, and they started talking in different languages that they didn't know. And the people in the crowd knew those languages because that was their hometown language. And they were gathered from all over kind of the Roman Empire, and they were speaking their own language. When that happened and they'd see the Holy Spirit start, he kept showing up. So it wasn't just they had this stuff in the past about this guy. It wasn't just this stuff in the past where he had risen from the dead and then ascended to heaven. It was also that the Holy Spirit kept showing up and kept empowering them to do things that they couldn't do on their own. And so when they would go into a place and Paul would preach or something, he would say something. People couldn't refute it. They couldn't deny it because the Holy Spirit was right there in their face. They could oppose it, right? And they do that. So you see Paul preach, and then somebody stirs up this riot of the whole city against him. Why? Because they couldn't deny it. They just had to shut it down. And so Paul's a prisoner now, because everywhere he goes, he keeps stirring stuff up, right? But he says this. He says, you know what? My identity is not as a prisoner of Rome. He says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, right? I'm chained to Jesus. He's the one I can't move without. He's the one that I can't go anywhere without him going first. He's the one that I follow his lead. I'm chained to Jesus. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And so he says, I urge you as a prisoner of the Lord, as one bound to him, I implore you then to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. So who are we? Are we those who are bound to this world? Are we bound to the success of this world and pursuing the things of this world? Or are we those who are also bound to Jesus? Are we those who have found our life in him? And because of that, we do not want to detach ourselves from him. We want to go where he goes. We want to do what he says. We want to be a part of what he is bringing in. But that's the voice. That voice is calling us to be God's people, to represent the fullness of Jesus here on earth. But isn't it interesting also where he starts with it? Because he says, walk in a manner worthy then of the calling, that high calling with which you were called. But he doesn't start by saying, and go out there and do powerful things and be an overwhelming force and shut everything else down. He doesn't say that. He says, in all humility and gentleness and patience with one another, putting up with each other in love. You guys, when we get into this stuff about the Holy Spirit and about being the body of Christ and about learning how to be used in and use these powerful gifts of God, we have to remember that it's not about force or power. It's not about like us kind of taking over the scene. It is about humility. It's about gentleness. It's about sometimes just putting up with, it's bearing with each other as we walk. Have you guys ever been in a setting where someone's learning something and it can be so frustrating, can't it? Because they're just not getting it. They're trying, but they're just not getting it. And Jesus says, so slow your pace down. Help them get it. Because it's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about us becoming the body of Christ. So he says it's about humility and gentleness and patience. Humility, you know, Jesus, why is humility important? Because I think oftentimes when we find out that we're good at something, right, and then we get good at something, there are many times that we can walk in, we can kind of act like, well, you know, I deserve to be here, and I'm sorry for you peons that just aren't as good at this as I am, right? Right? And Jesus says, no, that's the exact wrong way to go at this, what it means to be the body of Christ. He says, start with humility. Jesus, one time he said, you know, if you go to a dinner party, you don't go immediately for the best seat in the house, because then the host might have to tell you, nah, I think you gotta, that's for somebody else, so you gotta move down. And then there's this, you know, humiliation in front of everybody else, you know. It says go for the lowest seat, because then if you're meant for a higher seat, the host will call you up. He says when we go at this, we don't walk into a room when we're trying to learn what it means to be the body of Christ, what it means to practice our gifts. Some of you guys are so much further down the road than I am. Some of you are so much further down the road than others are. And yet when you walk in the room, we don't walk in the room as if, well, yes, I'm obviously the best one here. I'll take the best seat. That's not where we go. It's we're all learning from each other. We're all under, it's all about grace. It's all been given as a gift. So we recognize that. And so in humility, it says that we learn from each other. It says that in patience with each other, we try and give each other the room and the time to learn what their gifts are and to get good, because we need each other in this. We're not going to stand alone as the body of Christ. It's us together or nothing. So it says, be gentle with one another. And this idea of gentleness is this word that means to kind of, as the person is growing more and more frustrated, that you remain calm so that you can help them keep moving forward to that place that's going to be best for them. Patience is much the same. When you're growing more and more frustrated, that you stretch out that energy so that it becomes this intentional, this investment that you say, I'm going to stick with this no matter what, right? He says, and so be patient and gentle. And the last one he says, and sometimes it's just, and put up with each, where each other are, right? So just walk with one another. Just go at the pace that it needs to go at, because this is God's work. So he says, this is what it's going to take to be the body of Christ. That's where he starts with it. He doesn't say that all of a sudden the Spirit gets dumped on us and all of a sudden we start doing amazing stuff and we just go out running full tilt. He says, no, it's going to be work with you guys coming together. This class that Cheryl is going to be leading, that's what part of that is that we come together and we say, what are my gifts? I'm not sure what my gifts are. You know, out of these five streams I could be investing in, I don't know which one I'm good at. I don't know which one God's called me. Can you guys help me find out how Christ, how Jesus has gifted me, how the Spirit works through me? Talk to me. Let me know what he's doing through me. He says it's going to be this process of becoming the body of Christ. So the five parts that we've talked about, those five gifts that this particular, Ephesians 4, this passage talks about. I touched on them last week, but I want to touch on them again because I want us to constantly be thinking, what are these five streams, these five things that really, they describe the complete kind of span of, these are the ministries of everything the church does fall in these five streams. And so naturally, he has given leaders in those five areas, in those five ministry areas, and he's gifted us in those five ministry areas. If you're called to serve Jesus, you're going to be in one of those five areas. Why? Because this is what the church does. And so you're going to discover that you probably are, some of you last week, you took that that survey, right? And you went online and you found, hey, these are some things that these are the areas that God seems to have gifted me in. Again, I'd encourage you to go online and to do that. You can find that, I'm not sure if we kept it up, but it was on the website where it just gives us, if you will go on and let us know, we use the texting, the phone number at the church, just let us know. I'd like to know more about the gifting survey. You can let us know and we'll get that link to you so that you can be a part of this. We need to press into this. Well, Cheryl's going to take a deeper dive into that. So you can go that next step. You can say, okay, so this is what the survey said. So how can I learn more about what this might mean? And then we're going to go to the next step of how can we start using these things together and help you guys find out what that means in terms of how do we act then out of this giftedness in a way that shows Jesus and reveals him. But those five streams, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Apostle is a word in Greek. The word is apostole. And what it means is it means somebody that is sent by another person, they're commissioned by another person to go and do a work, to carry out a project, to do something in the sender's authority, using their resources, this project that is on the sender's behalf. Okay, so you're commissioned to do a work. So the apostles were commissioned by Jesus to go out and to spread the word of his gospel, right? So they were commissioned, and they were given the authority of Christ to do this thing. They were given the resources of heaven in order to make it work. Now, what we find is that apostles are those who, we're getting the number up there. There it is. Now you can find out what you can text in there, and we'll get you the link. But apostles were those who, they go and they take new territory for God. They take new territory in the heavenly, kind of in the spiritual realm. They move in and they take territory in the kingdom, whether that's, and that doesn't mean you go out and you like raise up an army and take physical territory. It means that often through prayer or often through just dialogue with somebody, but there's this action, the sense of I have been commissioned to go kind of plant a work of Christ, a work of God in this place or in this time or in this group of people and to get this established spiritually. That's an apostle. A prophet is one who makes known what God is doing and saying. They're like the eyes or the ears of the body of Christ. And so they are the ones who kind of see into the heavenly places, and sometimes they see visions, sometimes they hear words, whatever it is, but they're the ones, and then they make those known to the body of Christ so that we might discern together what do these things mean. So here's an apostle. He says, I think God is opening up this space. We need to go there. And then the authority, he opens it up. And the prophets say, yeah, this is what we're seeing. And they make this known to the rest of the body. And then out of that emerges this voice of the evangelist. Okay, and the evangelist is the one who sees and hears these things that are being said about what God is doing. And then they do like this translation work for the normal people, right? Because we're all sitting there going, oh, that's a crazy dream you had, Mr. Prophet, and this wild thing you're talking about, Mr. Apostle. But then the evangelist comes and says, you know what? This is what it means, right? For example, the prophets and the apostles, they said, you know what? Jesus, when he died and he rose again, he entered into the heavenly temple, the tabernacle of God. He went kind of like what we saw on earth in the Old Testament. It was like a heavenly version of that. And he went and his blood was sprinkled on the altar there. And we were, and there was this atonement work that was done with God. And everybody's going, what? Right? And the evangelist says, God took care of everything. And he's opened a way for us to be reconciled so we can have a relationship, a friendship with God again. Right? And everybody goes, oh, good. We can run with that, right? We can gather around that, that we've been made right with God. And here's a prophet and apostle seeing all these details of it. But the evangelist is the one that says, and this is what it means, and locks it in. And then the pastors and teachers come along, and they do two works. The pastors tend to do the individual work, where they take these things and they apply them to the details of a person's life or to the life of a community, right? And they apply the details. But then the pastors come along and they gather the individuals together that have been gathered around this message and they build them into a community. So you have the building of the individuals, the discipleship that goes on with the teachers, and you have the gathering and the building of the community by the pastors. Those are the five. Those are the five. Listen to what Ephesians 4 says happens as a result of them doing, and that's the movement. Starts in the heavenly places, God reveals his mysteries, they're translated to the people, and the church is built around it based on, and this is what we do, this is who we are, this is how we're a community of God's people, this is where we go with it, okay? And listen to what it says, when those five then, when they gather together and they are speaking the truth in love, when that happens, it says, we grow up into all aspects into him. In all ways, we start reflecting Jesus, him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every connection point, every joint, every relationship here supplies, according to the proper working of every individual part, it causes then the growth of the body and the building up of itself in love. So God's, as he reveals and he moves through this natural kind of flow of these giftings, and as a result, it says, we're no longer like children. We're no longer tossed around by every wave and every wind of doctrine, every lie that comes by trickery and craft and deceitful scheming. Instead, we stand as this new humanity, this new creation, this new body whose head is Christ, and whose body is reflecting Christ on the earth as the church. And it's with these five in mind, these five, these ministries, these necessary ministries that lead to both the building up of the church, but also the active, you know, the activation of the church, us moving out is dependent on these five being in place. Those are the five that the Spirit is talking about when he says, okay, take your places. You guys have all been called, all of us have been called into one of those five streams. Now, you may find that you have been invested in a way that, man, you're ready to step in and you've kind of been prepared as a lead in one of these areas. You may just find that you've been empowered and, yeah, you have a heart for one of the streams, one of these five streams of ministry. You may find that you're way far along in your journey. You may find that you're just on the front end. You're going, okay, this is the first time I've ever heard about this stuff. But he says, don't ever make the mistake of thinking that you're not a part of it. If you belong to Jesus, he says that he is gifting you and calling you to be a part of his body, a part of this gifted body of Christ and a part of this. It's like the revelation, you know, we named this series Revelation, not because it's about the book of Revelation, but because it's about Jesus making himself, revealing himself through us. And this revelation of the mysteries of God through the people of his church. And it comes through this gifting of the Holy Spirit. You have been authorized. You have been given authority in his name to do amazing things. We're not just called to be, you guys, there's like a line in the sand. And sometimes we're not just called to be this ordinary, passive kind of you know, just fits in, it's respectable, this church. We're not called to be that as his church. We're called to follow in the steps of like Peter and James and John and Paul and the early believers, those who wherever they went, they couldn't deny what was being spoken because God was present. Now, they could oppose it, they could reject it, but they couldn't deny it. We're not called to be this kind of respectable church that fits into the world and fits into church. Sometimes we go at this, there's a line that's in the sand, and God asks us to step over it, not just asks us. The church is actually on the other side of this line. If we're living a life where we fit in just fine, you know, with the calls that are going out in this world, we have the career, we have, you know, we've gone to the right places, we got everything in line there, and we add Jesus into the mix, right? He's just another respectable piece that we throw into our lives. That's not church. That's not the ecclesia of heaven. That's not the kingdom of heaven breaking in. He says, you need to step over that line and be the people that I've called you to be. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you are called. Walk in a manner that's worthy of the name of Jesus, who left heaven to make this known to us, lived out his life in front of us, revealed to us, taught us about the kingdom, died and rose, not for himself, but for us, and then poured out his Spirit on us. We need to walk worthy of that calling. We need to be the church. So the Spirit calls out to us, and he calls out today, this morning, every time we wake up, he says, places. Take your places. Find out what your places are. Get good at them so that he might make himself known. So how do we do this? I think there's several ways that we can do this. One, some of you guys, I know, some of you guys have gifts as apostle. You have apostolic and prophetic gifts. You just do. And you might be aware of it. You might have an inkling of it. You might not know exactly what it means, but you just know there's something there. You guys, we gather on Sunday night. Every Sunday night, we gather right here to pray. And it's not, there's two kinds of prayer, really. There's the kind of the pastoral prayer on the one side. And that's when you know the needs of the body and you pray down the list of those who have needs. And that's important. And there are those who we should be praying for each other in what we're facing. But there's more of an apostolic or a prophetic type of prayer that can go on in the church. And that's when you're saying, God, there are some things we don't know about, but you know, and you know we need to know. And we wait and we listen for God so that we might be pushing in and not just praying about and engaging with the things we know, but engaging with the things that we didn't know till God told us, okay? We meet here on Sunday night, and some of you are gifted in a way that you should be with us. You should be here on Sunday night. And I know that's a big ask, because I know we go from 6:30 to 9, that's 2.5 hours, and that's not gonna be easy for some of you guys. I get it, but you're gifted and you're part of the body, and that's where your ministry happens. And so we need some of you guys to, I invite you to come on 6:30 on Sunday nights, because when we start praying, we'll start seeing God raising us up. We'll see us cross that line, step over that line. You guys, ministry in the church, you notice when Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, he didn't say, okay, now go out and start doing stuff. He said, no, gather and wait. When the church would start something, they would start by gathering and praying. They would find out, God, we need to know where we need to go before we go and do it, right? And so the apostles, when they had need of somebody to, you know, feed the widows, they didn't say, okay, we'll keep doing this. They said, our calling is to keep praying, to be in the ministry of the word and of prayer. So let's assign some others to take care of this important work. Some pastors, some of those who are gifted in that building up of the body, and we need to keep doing the calling that we are so that we keep moving forward as a church, right? So some of you guys are gifted in that way. And so I want to invite you on Sunday night. Some of you guys are gifted as apostles and prophets, and we need you in places like on the leadership team so that we have vision, that we have the sight, the vision to see what God is calling us to, that we have the authority in the place that is needed to leverage that authority on behalf of the kingdom of God and what God is doing here. Some of you guys are gifted as evangelists. You just seem to be able to gather people around stuff. You don't even think about it. All of a sudden, people are just kind of following you and saying, hey, let's try that. And all of a sudden, 50 people show up, right? And you're the evangelist. Well, you need to be in those kind of places too. Some of you need to be in that place of prayer so that when God shows and he says, this is what I'm doing, you can take and translate it so it gets out in a way that people understand it. Because otherwise people are just going to say, oh, the most amazing things happen. And they do. The most amazing things happen on Sunday. But some of you guys, I couldn't explain it to you. I couldn't, because it wouldn't make any, I'd say it and you go, oh, yeah, neat. Because an evangelist is the one who translates. I can't do it on my own. None of you can do it on your own. We need the gifts of the body so that this work of God can be done. Some of you who are evangelists, you need to be on leadership team for the same reason, right? All of a sudden, God shows something he wants to do. I would call somebody out who's sitting right here who is an amazing at doing this translation work, but I didn't talk with him beforehand, so I'm not going to do that. But we would sit sometimes in our leadership team meeting and there'd be all this, rah, you know, and all these things. And all of a sudden, just one word and everybody go, oh, all right. Yeah, we can go there. And we'd all be gathered around it and headed the right direction. Because that's a gift that's needed for the body of Christ. Some of you guys are pastors and teachers. Some of you guys, you have been gifted. God has equipped you, not just gifted you, but he has invested in you from the time you were little to a child to be able to invest in people's lives, come alongside and help them be built up in their faith, in discipleship. Some of you are those who could gather a group together and you could help build the church into the body of Christ so that we're the community that God reflects the very nature of Jesus. But sometimes in these gifts, we are too busy. We're too busy following that other call. We're too busy trying to chase after, you know, they chase after that prize of success, right? That prize of status, that prize of recognition, that prize of riches. Those prizes that the world has said, these will satisfy, and they never do. They never do. Because we weren't made for this world in its brokenness. We were made for God's kingdom. We were made for relationship with him. We were made for his life flowing through us. We were made to be that group that is this community of God's people that reflect the very nature and character and person of God, of Jesus Christ to the world. That's what we were made for. There's no other prize that will satisfy. There's no other place that you will find both satisfaction and fulfillment and rest except there. So the Spirit, he calls out. He says, take your places. Find your place. You guys, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you guys to find those places. It may mean that you go with Cheryl and you find what date works. None of this is going to be easy, by the way. You guys are all busy people. We have opportunities galore around us. You will have to make the time to be a part of the body of Christ. You will have to. You will have to, at times, sacrifice and give up other things in order to be a part of what God is doing. If we're going to be the body of Christ, we're going to have to choose to walk with Jesus and reflect him. We're going to have to align ourselves intentionally with who he is and what he's doing. But that's the call. That's the invitation that's out there.